Welcome to The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. The Learning Curve is about helping kids get good grades in school and succeeding in life. It's for all parents, teachers, and students.
Today, hear how a father turned around his son's learning by applying one of our remedies.
And to get more information on the material that we cover in our shows, you can go to www.howtolearneasily.com, or if you've got any questions you'd like to have answered, you can email us at questions@howtolearneasily.com. So our special guest for this evening is an old friend of mine, Anthony Yim, who today is the president of Advanced Performance Coaching and Training, a consulting business that he runs. I've known Anthony for several years now, and he was a client of mine in days of the yore. And the interesting thing is that we both learned a huge amount about this subject of barriers to comprehension and how it actually can create mind fog and knock you out of the game, even for adults. And Anthony, you'll probably remember that evening some years ago when we were chatting with Larry, and we were looking at this issue of barriers to comprehension and the effect on your mind and emotional state. Tell the audience just how, what happened that evening and what you discovered.
Well, what I discovered was, which I'd never really fully understood, was that whenever I ran into an area that I didn't have good understanding of, I might have had a term that was misdefined, I might have just been completely confused, I would tend to get very, very tired. And in some cases would, I remember even back in college in the library, I would have to put my head down and go to sleep. And I just had presumed that I was tired and from studying or staying up late or whatever. And it never occurred to me because I was constantly tired in college. And no one had ever explained any of these barriers to comprehension. And so it was an issue of just trying to push through the material and do the best you could. And it was a real eye-opener to really kind of fully and finally figure out that there was a barrier to comprehension, which was I didn't have a defined term or I didn't understand a concept. And it was actually some sort of charge or emotional resistance that was being triggered and causing me to feel tired, to yawn, to go to sleep, or even to just kind of almost pass out.
Yeah, mental fog really does turn on when you are addressing an area in which there are words for which you do not have the definitions. And I remember I really stuck it in you that night to make it real to you.
She did.
I said, notice how you feel. I never forget the expression on your face when I really put you in it. Yeah, that was a wonderful evening. So you went home and decided that this is so important, you better make sure your sons don't fall foul of this. Tell the folk the story about your first application of this knowledge with young Brian.
Well, my son at the time was about 7.5 years old, and I realized that at this point he had learned to read and was starting to get a little more sophisticated in his reading than kind of see spot run. And I looked in the books, and there were definitely a lot of words there that he probably had no idea what they meant.
Right.
And I asked him if there were, and he said yes. And so I figured we should go buy a dictionary. And that's something that I never really used when I was a kid. And I went over to the Barnes & Nobles, and lo and behold, they have a whole section for kids' dictionaries. And there's actually publishers who have now specialized in making these kids' picture dictionaries and various things.
Right.
And so I gave Brian a choice... rather than be the typical parent and decide which one he should have, I gave him a choice, and he investigated and bought a specific one. I forget which one it was. And then he started to look in it, and it was quite an epiphany for him to see that there were all these words and that he could look them up. And it was an eye-opening experience for him to discover this.
Yeah, he was actually sitting in the aisle at Barnes & Noble going, wow, look at this.
And in fact, I think what he discovered was if he didn't know a word, he could now go and try to figure it out.
Right.
Or get some better comprehension. He also looked up some words that he thought were amusing, and things like bathroom. And for some reason, you know, kids his age find that very amusing. And he got a definition, I think, which was a sink and a commode, and he thought that was hilarious. But anyway, whatever got them turned on the idea of looking up words was fine with me.
The other part of the story, I remember you telling me that you, a couple of weeks later when you came back to see me, how he was so switched on when he got this book home. You saw him that I think later that evening. You went to kiss him goodnight, and you went up there, and there he was sitting up there with his dictionary in bed, reading it for pleasure. You remember what he said?
I don't recall what he said, but he really felt that everyone should have a dictionary.
Yeah.
And that he really enjoyed it, and that was, I was startled by that occurrence, because I never looked at the dictionary more than once or twice in my childhood.
Right.
And so it was fascinating. Then the next day he brought his dictionary to school, and the entire class was fascinated with it. It almost is like no one had ever seen one before.
I remember you telling me he came home, he said, I want to get all the money out of my savings account and buy a dictionary for all the kids in the class.
That's right, yep. And Brian was going to buy a dictionary for everyone in the class, because of course there were some kids in the class that may not have been able to afford one, but everyone was so switched on by this dictionary that he felt he had his savings account with several hundred dollars in it, and he was going to go buy one for everybody.
Yeah.
And it was a nice thought, very nice thought.
Good thought. We had to talk him out of it and say maybe one for the class.
Well, the fact was, I don't think the teacher would have allowed it.
Yeah. I remember you telling me that you caught him one night. He was sitting in bed, actually reading his dictionary for pleasure. And as you went in, you know, kiss him goodnight, he looked at him and said, "You know, this is my favorite book."
Yes, and that was amazing. And that he had.
I really love this book.
He had found the dictionary as this prized possession, and you know, in fact, it is in one sense. And for a child at that age who is trying to make sense of the world, defining terms is key. And
yeah,
and it's clear to me now, just after the few years that have transpired since then, that that's one of the biggest blocks that kids go through, and they just run into all these misdefined terms, and they just build up all this fog.
Yeah. And it cripples them, because they simply accumulate a lot of mental fog, a lot of blankness, and they get stuck there. And that section or part of their schooling is occluded to them. So don't allow this to happen to your children. Get an appropriately aged child's dictionary and help them get these words defined so they know what's going on around them. It is that important. So thanks, Anthony. It's good to see you again. And we'll be talking again in the future about your consulting activities and the successes you're having. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Roger.
You're welcome, mate.
That was a wonderful example of missing or wrong definitions for words or symbols. A non-understood word or symbol is the underlying reason for abandonment of study. As you heard from Anthony, he says he went unconscious. It was difficult for him to get through college. Because of, or should say, in the face of a non-understood word or symbol, your child will go mentally blank and cannot act. They will go immobile and they're unable to perform. Worse, they'll have tremendous difficulty absorbing any knowledge on that subject from that point forward. Roger, as a parent, what kind of signs or symptoms would I be looking for in my child if they were suffering from this learning barrier?
Well, the first thing that happens is, as you say, they suffer from mental fog. They actually go mentally blank and numb, and they begin to yawn. They begin to actually look as though they're almost going to sleep, going unconscious. And of course, they have trouble focusing from that point on. But one thing that must be stressed is that when they collide with a word for which they don't have a definition, at the point of mental blankness, they don't get anything on the subject at that point and immediately after. That period is quite blank until they go out and play and do something new, and then they come back and they can refocus their attention. But while they're studying, when they collide with these words for which they don't have a meaning or definition, they go blank. They almost go unconscious on you. That's why kids will often want to go to sleep, or they'll get hyperactive and want to run around and keep themselves alive and going, but they will want to abandon and avoid what they've collided with, that mental unconsciousness that they have. And I invite you as a parent to actually experience this. Look at the occasions when you've run into words that you don't have the meaning of, and look at just what you experience at that point in time. You know, take a note of the way the mind goes blank and you get mental fog. It's that important an issue. And you can observe this in a child when they collide with words for which they have no meaning.
So as a parent, what can I do to fix this? How can I help my child?
If you see the unconsciousness or mental blank turn on, if you're a homeschooling parent and you see it manifest while they're studying, that's the time you say, oops, whoops, is there a word there you don't have the meaning for? And if a child comes home from school and they're cranky and agitated and appear to be not as bright as the way they were when you sent them off to school, you can always check with them. Are there any new words that you ran into today that you don't have the meaning for? And trace it back to the word that was used or given to them but was not defined when it was newly given to them. And you pick it up and get it defined, and you'll observe they brighten up instantly when they can attain the understanding that was blocked. One of the funny things that I observed long ago, which led me into this particular arena, is that we all pursue intentions, purposes. We have wants of things that we want to attain. And when one's studying, one is wanting to understand. And the tragedy is that when you collide with something that you don't understand, that purpose or that want and that intention has been blunted. And that's why it's such a catastrophic effect on a person. As I said, I was looking at this many, many years ago when I was a champion athlete, and watching athletes performing and how they're able to perform. And it was wrapped up in this phenomenon, the phenomenon of being able to achieve your purpose and attain your wants. So that's the significance of it.
Is there a way to prevent this from happening at all?
Well, yes, there is. And that is, make your child aware of the truth that they are trying to understand. That's why they're going to school. They do want to understand. And that when they collide with these things that they don't understand because of, for example, words which have no meaning for them or for which they don't have definitions, they will suffer. And the way to prevent that, and this is how you have to educate the child on, the way to prevent that is that they must get those words defined when they're used on them or with them. They can either have their own little dictionary and look them up, or they can ask the teacher, what's the meaning of that word? It's that simple. I would like, frankly, to train all teachers so that they don't goof this. But unfortunately, the way modern civilization is, folk are glibly using words that they themselves don't understand. And of course, lots of new words are created, which makes life a little difficult. But educate your child on this point and make sure that they personally know that they must get the definitions for and the meanings for all new words which are used in their presence. You know, when they were very young, they were very good at this. Mum, what's that mean? They'll always be asking you, what does it mean? Well, that's the phenomenon. They're trying to understand what's being said around them. So honor that want on their part. Okay, so this has been The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. And The Learning Curve is about helping kids, your children, get good grades in school and succeeding in life. It's for you parents, teachers, and all of you students out there.
Do you know the three most important questions to ask when helping your child with homework? We'll cover this on our next show.
Okay, so to get more information on the material that we have been covering in our shows, you can go to www.howtoleaneasily.com, or if you have any questions you'd like to have answered, you can email us at questions@howtoleaneasily.com.